الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله رب العالمين. That is, we give all the thanks and praises to Allah, and thereafter, all unqualified praises are due to Allah. We say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, always beginning with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We thank Allah, we praise Him. He is our Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the systems of knowledge, as well as our Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the worlds. We witness that there is no deity, no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He is without partners or associates, and there's nothing like unto Him. To Him be the dominion or the rule. To Him be all unqualified praise, and He has power over all things. We further witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is that he is Allah's slave, servant, and his messenger. And as always, we pray that the prayers and the peace be on him, his family, his descendants, the companions, the righteous all. And yes, dear Muslims, I extend that peace to you. We say, Ayyuhal Muslimun, and on you also be the peace. Ameen. Wa amma ba'd, and what follows of that salutation. Dear brothers and sisters, praise be to Allah. Here we are again on the best day of the week for the Muslims, the day of gathering, Salatul Jummah, our duty and our obligation. And I say to you, Jummah Mubarak, that's a blessed Jummah to you all. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, today I want to speak on the topic of faith, knowledge, and application defeats the shaitan. Repeating, faith, knowledge, and application defeats the shaitan. Paraphrasing several Quranic ayat and several hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bring this point home, the first thing I want to remind us, dear family, is that Allah says in the Quran that He is teaching us now. This is important. Nothing goes by in our life. Days don't go by in our life when Allah is not involved. And Allah is personal for all of us. It's not an exclusive thing or an elite thing or these people. No, Allah is teaching us. Now, some of us are teachable and some of us aren't. Some of us are paying attention and some of us aren't. But the thing is, what we have to understand, there's an idea in the world that Allah is resting. He did His thing and He's resting. No, Allah says another place in the Quran, every second and split second, He's involved in a wonderful work. So this is present tense that He's teaching us now. Dear family, if we stop questioning in the proper manner, if we stop looking for avenues and ways to improve, our growth will be aborted. As a community and as an individual, our growth will be aborted. And that's stagnation. And we know stagnation is death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says of him in the Quran that he comes to teach us the book. And the common translation is the wisdom. I like Imam Muhammad's translation, radiallahu an, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his purpose, his intent, is to come and teach us the book, al-kitab, and the rules of logic. This is important. There's a logic. See, some of us are so intelligent, we get in our own way. Some of us apply things literally, perhaps, when there's a philosophy there, or there's a philosophical idea, or there's a moral there, or there's a principle there. So Allah sent the Prophet not only to explain this, or pardon me, to reverberate or articulate this, or just say it, but there's a logic. There's rules for logic. When I hear the word rules, that suggests discipline. When I hear the word rules, there's a science involved here. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to teach us the book and the rules of logic. See, wisdom is the ability to apply properly. Praise be to Allah. Allah also says in the Quran that we are to not limit ourselves. Specifically, traverse, travel through the skies and the earth, escape the earth if you can. This is Quran, I'm paraphrasing. Now we know we have all these satellites in space, we have all this space travel trying to figure out what's on Mars, we say we landed on the moon, all of this is going on. But Allah says this is 1400 years ago. See, sometimes we forget what inspired all of this enlightenment, what inspired all of this in industry. It is Allah's word. But Allah says you can't do these things. You can't grow, you can't expand the logic. You can't expand the knowledge, pardon me, can't expand your applications or your evolution, Allah says, unless you get great knowledge. Now, great in this context suggests to me beyond the ordinary, beyond the superficial, beyond what's on the surface. We have to go for higher and deeper understanding. Isn't that how we advanced in medicine? Wasn't there a time that chicken pox wiped out populations? Smallpox wiped out. We don't have to worry about that now. There's vaccines for that. There's so many other things that used to wipe out the human family. Now it's like sneezing or getting a cough or a common cold. It's no big deal. Because the man and woman, yes, right, I'm include our women, they wasn't satisfied just to look at the apple and say, okay, I can eat this apple, but I think I can make apple juice. I think I can make apple pie. There's more than one application for this reality. And this is what keeps us sharp, brothers and sisters, that you and I go beyond the obvious, but we can't do it without great knowledge. We're talking about faith knowledge. I haven't got to the faith yet. I'm talking about faith knowledge. And application is what defeats Satan. Dear family, we know that Adam, upon him be peace, did not intend to disobey Allah. Satan exploited his natural tendencies, his natural inquisitiveness. See, these are not bad things. Sometimes we want to say a child is mischievous, or we want to contain that energy and that spirit. We have to be very careful. Yes, our children have to be disciplined, but we can't damage that free nature, that inquisitive spirit, that energy. We have to channel it. We can't damage it. So praise be to Allah. When we see here, when we're talking about the prophet, well, actually, we're talking about knowledge, and we're talking about application. Allah talks of our Jewish brothers, how they had an attitude one time of gaining knowledge, but no appreciation for the knowledge. Gaining knowledge, but no understanding of the knowledge. And use the analogy of a donkey carrying books and tombs of books on their back. The donkey has no knowledge of what it carries. So if you don't have knowledge, you may not appreciate it. If you don't appreciate it, you haven't added value to it. So brothers and sisters, what's important is the application of the knowledge. A lot of times, people might have difficulty with me today because I'm not going to read one ayat from Quran. But I'm paraphrasing Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that it is better, or the best among you is the one that gains the knowledge of the Quran and teaches it, gains the knowledge of the Quran and shares it. All of you can read Quran, read it. But we get what we get individually based on Allah's generosity, our own hearts and our own disposition. My point is proper application. You can know something and not apply it right. And I mentioned Satan because I said Adam didn't start out to disobey Allah, but he exploited his natural tendencies. He exploited his natural appetite. You all excuse me for rushing here because I got a lot to say in a small time to say it. So my point is, it's this language. Allah forbade Adam, upon him be peace, for approaching a certain tree. It possessed a certain knowledge. Biblical language says of good and evil. Satan comes and says, I know what Allah told you about that tree, but let me tell you what's really going on with that tree. So basically, he took information and knowledge and changed how Adam, upon him be peace, perceived it. And in him applying a certain perception that was wrong, caused death to him, caused Allah's displeasure to him. And then Allah, in his mercy, after he realized, Adam realized what was wrong, he repented, and then Allah blessed him to meet a word that put him back on track. A word is also connected with knowledge. He gave him a certain knowledge that put him back on track. Now, as we begin to bring this part of the khutbah to a close, what did our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about knowledge? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that higher education, I'm using English vernacular, higher education is the lost property of every believer. This is important. Listen to the language. You know how we feel when we lose our property. Oh, we're so disturbed at such unrest until we get the property. See, brothers and sisters, those of us that are academically challenged use that as an excuse for not acquiring certain knowledges. But what's more sad is people, they put the value of themselves based on degrees. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying. Degrees have their place. Degrees can help you, challenge you, grow you, and develop you. But I'm getting ahead of myself. But one of the things that stood out with me in the conference I just attended in Istanbul, Turkey, is this. One of the scholars got up there and said, in essence, that many of our people now are going to universities and they're graduating from universities, and they think this automatically qualifies them for Islamic knowledge. Not necessarily. You have to be trained in a discipline. So the fact that you are Dr. So-and-so does not mean that you can give fatwas, legal rulings. This is the point that I'm making, that you have to understand. What I want to get us to see is, as believers, don't devalue. I'm saying two things. One, I'm saying, yes, degrees are good. Get your degrees. But don't think through that discipline or that orientation is the only way you can add value to yourself, or the only way that you can be educated. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are taught and told, I'm not going to get into the philosophy of that, but let's just keep it simple. He couldn't read. But look at what he built. Look at what he produced. Look at our numbers throughout the world. Look at how modern civilization benefited from a man who we say can't read. Why was he so profound? Why was he so impactful? Because he came with the word of Allah. Hello. So if you're educated in the word of Allah, that's all the education you need. Now, some of y'all gonna think I'm hating. I ain't hating. You ain't got no degree. That's all right. I ain't hating. I'm trying to make a point. The way we think and perceive a thing shackles us. It enslaves us. It put boundaries on us. I'm telling you, as a believer, you are very valuable. You can be very impactful. Just educate yourself in the Quran and pray for understanding. And then after you're educated, go do something. Apply your knowledge. Don't pontificate, as they say, or philosophy and all. Do something. That's what we're supposed to do with knowledge. Praise be to Allah. I can't think of it. I can't quite quote the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But he said something to the effect that proper knowledge is a pressure, I'm trying to get the word, but let me just say it like this. Let me tell you how I understand what he said. That if you have proper knowledge, you can't help but be productive. If you have proper knowledge and understanding, you can't help but be energized and motivated. So maybe those of us that are non-productive, we have to look at our quality of knowledge, or we have to look at our understanding of the knowledge. Because if you've been turned on by Allah, there's no stopping you. Praise be to Allah. So again, I need to wind this down. There is a dua that Rasulullah encouraged us to make. It might be in the Quran, but I'm not sure, so I'm not going to charge the Quran. But here's the dua. O Allah, spare me or save me from a knowledge that does not benefit me. Save me from a knowledge that does not benefit me. You've got people that can talk hours about sports. People that can talk hours about soap opera. People can talk hours about things that benefit no one, not even yourself. You're living vicariously through somebody else. Get a life yourself. The point is, we seek refuge in knowledge that doesn't benefit us. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one learned Muslim is harder on the shaitan than 1,000 ignorant worshipers. Dear family, we can't be satisfied to leave it up to the few, the scholars, the alims, the imams. This is a religion that progresses, that not just progresses, that is maintained and keeps its life not through the elite, but through the public. This is a religion of the public. This is a religion of the common person. And until we, you and I, the common people, rise up and meet our obligation and responsibility, we're not going to move like we're supposed to move as a community. We want to blame the scholars. No, yeah, they have their part too. We can do better as scholars and imams, etc. But what is our role? Are we taking personal responsibility, or are we leaving it? They'll take care of it. Yes, you are they. And they are us. Praise be to Allah. So we don't want to be that 1,000 ignorant worshiper that Satan can change the perception and mess up the knowledge. To know is fine, dear brothers and sisters, but it's all about the application. Imam Wazir tickled me in a talk he was giving. He said there was a brother that wanted to do a business seminar, but didn't have no business. But this brother thought, because he has been studying business for 30 years, that qualified him to do a seminar on business. What is my point, dear family? My point is, when your rhetoric, when your articulation is not backed up with concrete manifestation of what you're talking about, you lose credibility. I don't want to know what you philosophize about business. I want to know what you have applied and demonstrated and established. Isn't that what happens when we get out of school with all these degrees? Well, Johnny, you know, your resume looks nice, but what experience do you have? And based on experience, all things being equal, the one with the experience gets the job over the one who is inexperienced. So we don't want to just know. We want our credibility to be intact. Yes. Praise be to Allah. Dear family, I'm going to conclude this part of the khutbah on just encouraging us, reminding us again to be very appreciative of Allah raising up Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad radiallahu an for the entire Muslim world, starting first with the community that gave him birth. This is very important, because what I find sometimes, and I'm not charging anyone with anything, but some of us are not comfortable with what Allah has given Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad for this community. And why do I say that? Because we either don't apply his teachings, or we don't stand on his understanding. Now, brothers and sisters, to me, that's like the doctor giving you a prescription. And he tells you, this is what you need. I've diagnosed your problem. This is what you need. And you take it, look at the content, maybe open it up, see how it smells, and then put it back on the shelf and say, this ain't gonna work. That doctor don't know what he's talking about. What is my point? The reason why you're not getting the benefit is because you don't have the trust. You don't have the faith in what is being given to you. Because the one that trusts and has faith, they apply it. And in the application comes more faith. In the application comes confidence. In the application comes you're able to stand firm. It's not what you heard, it's what you've experienced. Somebody will say something to you about something, and I thank Allah that I have an independent mind. If they say something that I don't agree with, and I'm not saying this to be confrontational, but what I will say is, you know, sister, brother, that has not been my experience. So naturally I feel differently about that. Because my experience has been wonderful. My experience has been positive. My experience is that the opposite is true. Now, I can't say what they're saying is not true because I haven't had their experience. But I'm not going to ride along just because they said it loudly. That has not been my experience. Praise be to Allah. Yes. So some of us are not comfortable being around Muslims outside of our association because we don't feel or believe that we got the real thing. That our knowledge can stand the test of time. That our insights and interpretations, though sometimes not popular, are very much rooted in the Quran, very much rooted in the life of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace. But because you don't study, and because you don't know the sciences of it, you rather stay around those that maybe you think you can hide among, because we won't challenge your knowledge and understanding. Not that that's the point, but my point is, brothers and sisters, feel comfortable in your own skin. Put the knowledge to the test. You know, brothers and sisters, we have to do that with Allah also. You know, sometimes when people talk Allah, trust Allah, have faith, most Muslims are not bold enough to say, we trust Allah, what has he done? But this is going on in people's lives because they have went to every other source for help but Allah. They're not making their prayers. They're not doing certain things. So their relationship with Allah is not good. So they don't have faith and confidence in it. And they think that the world, that Allah is punishing them perhaps, or that if Allah was so real, he wouldn't allow bad to happen. Or if Allah is so real, I would have got that job. Or if Allah was so real, I wouldn't have caught that disease or got that illness. You got it twisted.
Allahu Akbar.
Yes, you got it twisted. But when you step out on faith and you trust Allah and you look to Allah in the difficulty and see how he brings you through the difficulty, oh, you have a whole different perspective on this thing called faith. And you can't apply knowledge if you don't have faith in it.
Allah.
But in order to get faith in it, you gotta test it. You have to apply it. You have to do something. Praise be to Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, we pray for excellence in this life. We pray for excellence in the next. Please save us from the torment of the fires of sin. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. In concluding this khutbah, dear family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is He and supreme above all things, says in His Al-Quran Al-Kareem, again paraphrasing, there are those among you who study the word and follow the best meaning in it. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Dear family, we have to stop falling out with one another just because we disagree. This tells me, and other things in our religious tells me, there's more than one way to see it. And we got to be careful with this because you can't just go out in space. You can't just come up with stuff based on feeling with no Islamic knowledge, no knowledge from the Quran, the life of our Prophet upon him be peace. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about, those that apply themselves, those who study and come up with different understandings, that's okay as long as you're founded on the sound Islamic principles. And it also lets me know there's always room for improvement. Don't be satisfied with the level of understanding you have, because the believers are those who study the word and find the best meaning in it. So we're not satisfied with the mediocre meaning. We're going for the best. Again, our being challenged is what grows us and develops us. Why am I saying this, dear family? It's no secret your brother has had the honor to attend a conference, a two-day conference in Istanbul, Turkey. Now, we're going to have to do a whole nother deal to really get into the conference and the whole experience over there. But I want to leave with you a couple takeaways. We only have a few minutes, so just a couple takeaways. But what I saw here in using this Quranic ayat, they tell me that there were Muslims there from over 95 countries. And we were graced and blessed on the stage with different scholars from the Algiers and the Sudan, and one from America, and we had those from Egypt and other places. And unfortunately, due to our plane and flight deal, we missed the first day of the conference. That's another story, okay? Allah's in control of everything. But what we experienced let us know that we're going to see things a little differently. But what I appreciate is all of the scholars are trying to get in touch with the times that we live in. All of the scholars are trying to get in touch with the people that they serve and look for new ways that are approved by Al-Islam to make a difference. So, what am I saying? Real quick, this conference was to look at two Islamic principles It's the hand and kiosk in our religion. Now, just so you know, and again, we're going to make this quick, brothers and sisters, just bear with me. This term, ijtihad, is the Islamic legal term, which means independent reasoning or the utmost effort an individual can put forth in an activity. Now, I want you to know I'm coming out of the quote now. Ijtihad is general. It explains the entire process, where qiyas is more specific. And I'll get to qiyas in a moment. As one of the four sources of Sunni law, it is recognized as a decision-making process in Islamic law through personal effort, which is completely independent of any school of jurisprudence, as opposed to taqlid, blind following. It requires a thorough knowledge of theology, revealed texts, and legal theory, an exceptional capacity for legal reasoning through knowledge of Arabic. By using both the Quran and Hadith as sources, the scholar is required to carefully rely on analogical reasoning to find a solution to a legal problem, which is considered to be religious duty of those qualified to conduct it. So the idea, I think, is best represented in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the brother that was assigned governorship, may Allah be pleased with him, to Yemen. When Rasulullah sent Mu'adh radiallahu an to Yemen, he asked him, how would you govern? He said, I will govern the people by using the Quran. He said, what if what you need to solve is you don't find it clearly stated in the Quran? Because principally it's all in the Quran. But this is the Prophet speaking, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So brothers and sisters, there are some things that we're going to come in contact with in life that is not clear to us. We can't quote a Quranic ayat or a hadith. So the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pardon me, says, what if what you're looking for is not found in the Quran? He said, well, I will search your life, your example, your sunnah. Now watch this. But what if what you're looking for you don't find there? You think, oh, that can't be possible. Everything's Quran and sunnah. Yes, of course. And what did Mu'adh say, radiallahu an? He said, then if I don't find it in the Quran, if I don't know of it in your life example, I will exert myself using my own knowledge and understanding based on the Quran, based on your life, and I will make my own decision with my own thinking, paraphrasing that hadith. Now there's some Muslims that tell you can't do that. There's some Muslims that tell you that the door of ijtihad is closed. You got to follow one of the four schools or your Islam is not valid. That's not what Rasulullah said, because after hearing Mu'adh radiallahu an say how he would do it and that he would follow the Quran first in his life, and then if he couldn't find it there, he would exert himself using his own reasoning to come up with a solution. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, praise be to Allah.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah has sent the messenger of Allah, a messenger that I approve of. Allahu Akbar. All right. I'm out of time. Qiyas is more specific. In Islamic jurisprudence, qiyas is the process of deductive analogy, in which the teachings of the hadith are compared and contrasted with those of the Quran in order to apply a known injunction to a new circumstance and create a new injunction. Here, the ruling of Sunnah and Quran may be used as a means to solve or provide a response to a new problem that may arise. This, however, is only the case providing that the set of precedent or paradigm and the new problem that has come about will share operative cause. All right, praise be to Allah. Dear family, the idea in qiyas basically is We're confronted with a new set of circumstances. We're confronted with a new situation that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have to deal with in his lifetime. Let's come together. Let's bring the best minds together. Let's bring the most knowledgeable among us together. And by analogy, let's see if there's a principle we can extract from the past and apply in this new situation. We have to do this. Do you know that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to do this? So you know 1435 plus years ago, we have to do it. There was no TV, there was no technology. Satan hadn't grown and evolved to the level he is today with his subtleties and his filth and his and everything that's in the society. So, brothers and sisters, as you can see, we can go on and on. But I think I'm overcooking some grits here. Grits don't taste well overcooked. So let's bring it home. What I saw in Turkey is that the scholars are now aware of a need to express and apply Islamic knowledge differently to the times in which we live in. What I also saw is that our leader, Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad radiallahu an, was ahead of his time.
Allahu Akbar.
Imam's teaching us, his understanding, what he taught us, what we understand, some Muslims are just coming into that knowledge and understanding. And this is evident. This is evident by the way they shared and spoke. What also is very significant is that Allah is working with all the sincere believers and scholars, you hear this family, simultaneously.
Allahu Akbar.
But because we don't travel outside of San Antonio, we don't know what's going on throughout the rest of the United States. We won't even talk about the rest of the world. But Allah has blessed me to see that some of the things that we know, Allah didn't just give us, He gave others around the world. I got to be careful how I say this, because some of us, anyway, I'm just going to say it. Allah is working with all the sincere believers and scholars simultaneously. Dear family, this is not our mission. This is Allah's mission. Allah says in the Quran, He revealed this religion, and you ready? He will propagate it. He ain't waiting on you. He ain't waiting on me. He ain't waiting on nobody. He is the creator. He creates situations and circumstances to manifest and realize His aim and purpose. Simultaneously, He's working with that. He's marshaling in a certain disposition. He's marshaling in a certain understanding. And He's marshaling in a certain application. And it's happening all over the world. Praise be to Allah. And those of us that paid attention to our Imam, He never claimed exclusivity to certain things. But Allah raised Him up to teach us. No one else could have put it in a language and reach us as He did. So Allah gave it to Him. Doesn't Allah say in the Quran, every community will have its warner? Every community will have someone to bring them a message? That makes sense. That makes sense. This conference was inspired by the Turkish scholar Fethullah Gulen, who has a refreshing approach to the application and practice of this religion. Now, brothers and sisters, I was hesitant to tell y'all that. I hope I'm safe here, but I understand the mind of some of us. See, Sheikh Gulen is still alive. Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad has returned to Allah. So some of us may jump ship if they find out there's somebody else out there that can kind of do what the Imam did. Oh, nobody could do what the Imam did. See, you have to understand that Sheikh Gulen was, by the way, they called him the Mujaddid over there. Anybody ever heard that terminology before? Mujaddid?
No.
For those of you that don't know what that means, that means reviver of the religion. Reviver of the, I don't have time to get into it. My personal belief is that Sheikh Gulen, as great as he is, as much respect as I have for him, also was inspired by Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, radiallahu anhu. So my point, this is not about self-grandeur. What I'm telling you, this is all Allah's business. Sheikh Gulen is great. I have a great amount of respect for him. But he wasn't raised up for us. He was raised up for them. That don't mean we can't benefit, but don't sell what we have short. That's why I hesitated, because I repeat, Allah is creating a new mind, thinking, understanding, and application all over the world. This is His business. And lastly, dear family, for now, to be continued, I was so impressed with the amount of young Muslims at the conference. Men and women, Sister Olaya, men and women were at the conference. Excuse me for putting you on blast like that, but you know why I did that. We had that conversation. And I was actually shocked. I was thinking that we was having some men's conference, as we always do, you know, men. And when I was coming up to the conference, all these sisters coming in there, I said, Allahu Akbar. Young men and women, brothers and sisters, Sheikh Gulen has found a way to engage the young minds, to engage and get the young people involved, excited, enthusiastic about the mission. We can do better in that regard. We can do better in that regard. I loved it. I was impressed by it. The spirit was good. So, dear family, thank you for your patience. To be continued. Though Turkey is 8 hours ahead of us, and if I had any sense, somebody else be doing the khutbah today. Because that was 8 hours jet lag. Anyway, the point is, on some level, of course, I'm inspired. Had an opportunity to spend quality time with a Sahaba of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, Imam Darnell Kareem, a lifelong friend and helper in his work. And he shared stories with us about El-Hajj Malik, who he traveled with, radiallahu an, shared stories with us. Him and Muhammad Ali are related through marriage. Wonderful. I just took my notebook out and let him talk. Just don't talk, Brother Imam. Well, I'm not teaching. I'm just okay, teach me, Brother Imam. Yes. So I learned of different situations. Imam Eugene Farouk was there out of Houston, Texas. Spent time with him, who's a great historian. It puts everything together through film and video. And he did the same thing there. He videoed the interview we had with the one of the organizers or leader of their newspaper. The point was, it was very beautiful. Very beautiful, very relaxing. And we learned a lot. So praise be to Allah. I'm finished, my dear family. I just have to make a couple announcements. The single social in Dallas, Texas for the upcoming weekend, Memorial Day weekend, I don't know the details, but it's been postponed until Juneteenth weekend. So stay tuned, we'll get back. Any of you who plan to go to Dallas this weekend, postpone, not tomorrow, but Memorial Day weekend, it's coming up in June, inshallah. Effective immediately, we want to have Brother Hanny collect all of the money. He is helping us to get it little better organized, in a sense that we can have greater accountability. And we certainly want to thank Brother Asmar. At the same time we're thanking him, we're giving him one less thing to do. Our brother got enough to do. He got enough on his plate. He's wearing enough hats. But thank you, Brother Asmar. We appreciate what you've done. But for the sake of spreading the work and hopefully a little better organization to all of this, we're going to ask Brother Hanny to help us with that, and he's accepted. But Brother Asmar did a wonderful job. We're just giving him one less thing to do, that's all. But don't quit. We got more for you to do, inshallah. I want to acknowledge And I'm sorry none of them are here today. Brother Abu Jihad, my understanding is we had three of his children graduate last Sunday. I may be off on the number, a couple of them from college, at least two, and we congratulate. I know Brother Jihad was among them, maybe Sister Aisha was the other one. May Allah bless them, and congratulations to them and to the family. We got a lot of good things going on. Please go to our website. There's things coming up for Ramadan. There's things happening in the city. There's events that we can attend, and Sister Olaya keeps that updated. Just all you gotta do is click on the home page and boom, there it is. So please do that, because I'm not gonna take the time right now to go through all of this. Sister Mahasin is working on the end of the year graduation and recognitions for our young people, and the board has to make a decision. They may have seen that email by now, but we need to find out just what we're going to do this year and how we're going to do it. But that's quickly approaching. We're talking about, I think, the second or maybe the first weekend or second weekend in June. And brothers and sisters, last but certainly not least, I want to commend the brothers of MBIR. Thank Allah for modern technology. I was over 5,000 miles away, but they got Facebook over there. And a couple of believers posted some pictures of Facebook, so I was able to be connected in that way. And our brothers did a wonderful job. I got such good feedback through texts and Facebook posts and all of that about how we made our sisters feel celebrating motherhood on last Sunday, on Mother's Day. So we thank Allah. We thank my son, Salim, who actually took the leadership this year and got the brothers together. But everybody worked in their places. I'm gonna acknowledge the leaders, and the other brothers don't feel bad, but I'm acknowledge the leader, but all of us play the role that we play. We appreciate the brothers that just donated money. We appreciate the brothers that got the roses or secured the venue for where we were able to have this event. Very beautiful ambiance, very beautiful venue. The brothers came together. We thank the cooks for the meals that they prepared and all of that. So my hat's off to you, but I think this is what's most significant, dear brothers. This is not about me, it's not about ego. I'm trying to point out a principle. It went off without a hitch. It was successful. And you know what I'm excited about? The Imam did not have to be there for it to happen. That's the sign of a mature community. Don't get me wrong, I missed y'all. In all the years we've done this, I've never been absent. And you know why I was at. The point is simply this, again, not me, it's you. The fact that we came together, not having to have granddaddy or big daddy over us for things to happen. You showed maturity as brothers. You took charge and responsibility. And believe me, that's how communities grow. Otherwise, when individuals die, the movement dies. This is bigger than any individual.
Allahu Akbar.
So thank you, brothers. Praise be to Allah. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammadin kama salli Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim. Wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim fil alameen. Hinaka Hamadin Majid. Ameen. Aqim as-salat.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.